going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane. I'm back. I'm back after the long weekend. I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day weekend. For those of you who were able to get out of town, I hope you traveled safely. I hope you had great weather. Maybe you enjoyed some baseball this weekend. I know there was a lot to take in. And more importantly, if you're active military or you serve, thank you for your service. Obviously, a weekend of remembrance more than anything. But a great way to start the summer nonetheless. I know I got out of town, got to the lake with the family. Weather stayed away, which was nice. Caught some fish, you know, did the whole thing, man. It was a great Memorial Day for the Kane household, and as it should be. I hope you had the same and enjoyed yourself this weekend. But hey, we got some DFS baseball to talk about here on FanDuel. We got a nice Tuesday slate coming up here. 14 full games on the main slate over there on FanDuel. So we're gonna jump straight into it, and talk about these games because there's really quite a bit going on, and I don't want to waste too much time. So let's go ahead and dive into the spreads today. Okay, so when we are looking at the we're looking at the spreads for I lost my place. I'm looking at today Sunday spreads. Now here we go. Here we go. 30th game start. Miami at Philadelphia. This one has opened at 9 runs, and Miami favored here with Justin Nicolino on the hill. And my thought is that's probably basically, well, some of them have it as a pick 'em, but opened with 9 runs, and Miami was opened as a favorite. Now it's a little bit more of a pick'em. Vinny Velasquez going up against Justin Nicolino, and they're not favoring Velasquez, but they're favoring these Miami bats that are really, really starting to click. So a very dangerous team as far as the bats go. They will be in Miami. One thing to always keep your eye on is whether or not that dome is open in Miami. Changes that whole stadium, man. It's just that the temperature goes up, the humidity goes up, everything. So definitely have some interest in some of these games. They're just teams that sometimes go overlooked for leverage. Robbie Ray will start against Ivan Nova as Arizona goes to Pittsburgh here. And, this one opened it, I'm seeing, 8.5, but now it's looking like it's actually 7.5 in some spots. 7.5 in some spots. And it is also a pick 'em. Ray is the slight favorite, in this one. It's interesting to me. It's interesting. I guess it's just a question of whether or not Arizona can hit Ivan Nova. We already saw this game, so maybe that's influencing what Vegas did. And Pittsburgh won that game. They hit Robbie Ray, interestingly enough. Now, since then, he's been much better, but something to keep in mind. I apologize. These aren't going to be quite in order regionally, just because the website that I'm using doesn't have them in the order, so we'll just get through all of them here. Dodgers St. Louis, this one's Kenta Maeda versus Michael Wacha. This one is in St. Louis. Kind of a flip this series around here, and the Dodgers are favored against Wacha, obviously against a righty. 8.5 runs projected here. You know, interesting. Maeda was a heavier favorite, I think, in his original start, but he did not start very well against St. Louis in that last one. Got through 5, struck out a couple guys, you know, limited the damage, but the damage was done. He was getting hit. And I, you know, part of me thinks that was because I was watching it on at bat. I wasn't watching it. It was late and I wasn't watching the full game, but he wasn't getting a lot of calls. So I'd be interested to see what Maeda's start looks like here. You know, it could just be an issue though, where, you know, St. Louis sees the pitches he's throwing, and they don't mind hitting them. I don't know. Milwaukee is Milwaukee is going to the Mets. 9 runs projected here in this one. And I'm not sure how this is, but the Mets are favored, strangely enough, with Zach Davies going up against Tyler Pill. I guess it's just those Mets lefties against Davies. I'm not really sure, although I'm seeing it as a pick'em in some other spots as well. So, that makes a little bit more sense to me. But this Tyler Pill character coming up from AAA, his numbers are not good. Now that I think about it, it's probably game stackable. Although I did write up the Milwaukee bats in this spot as well. Though Milwaukee has cooled off significantly since their early season breakout. Chicago in San Diego. The Cubs are down there finishing up their road trip. We've got Eddie Butler versus Dinelson Lamet. Cubs heavy favorite against Lamet, even though Lamet pitched a gem. 8 runs projected here. And Eddie Butler, interestingly enough, is like underwhelming as he is from a real life pitching perspective. He just kind of limits the damage and gives you a couple innings and you move on. That's what Eddie Butler does. So interesting game for sure. I don't think a lot of ownership will be there because people really don't like attacking either of these pitchers. I think they do in name value. I think people will try to attack Dinelson Lamet. I did it last week. I don't know. I mean, the ball's going to sail on him if he gets hit, but he has some nasty K stuff. He had 8 Ks against the Mets, and they hit righties. Washington, San Francisco, 8 runs projected here, and San Francisco favored with Samardzija on the hill versus Gio, which says a lot about Samardzija, I think, in this spot. And Washington getting a massive park downgrade here. So interesting matchup for sure. And Samardzija, we will talk about him later on. New York going to Baltimore. This series continues. And Luis Severino going up against Chris Tillman. 9 runs projected here. And the Yankees are obviously favored with Severino there. Interesting note, though, I was reading about this game, this series. One of the New York news outlets, I think it was NJ.com or something like that. And the writer noted that Baltimore actually owns the Yankees in this series at home. They haven't won, any of the last 10 games in Baltimore. Now, last year, obviously, this is a different Yankees team. But definitely interesting to note, and it looks like I believe that Baltimore is up today as well. So something to keep an eye on. Tampa Bay versus Texas. This would be an interesting series. Matt Andreese going up against Nick Martinez, and Tampa Bay favorites on the road here. 10 runs projected, which tells you a lot about the quality of these pitchers. Both teams projected for well over 4 runs in this one. So this is an interesting spot because both of these teams have lefties that can hit. If you're going to play these guys, it's against right-handers. So this is a game stacker for sure. Definitely have some interest in it. Not a ton of interest, but some interest. And obviously if the weather is nice, it's nice and warm in there in Texas, then we definitely will have some a nice opportunity to get some access to that game. Boston, the Battle of the Sox here. The Red Sox are going to the White Sox, and Sale takes on Severino. Obviously, Chris Sale, the heavy favorite in the return to Chicago here in this spot. Quintana. Chris Sale versus Jose Quintana. Boston heavy favorites here. 7.5 runs projected in this one, which tells you a lot about the pitchers and the bats, really. I mean, I think, they're saying there's no way they're going to project the White Sox for over 3 runs here in this one, or 3, maybe 3, 3.5. But they really don't like the Boston bats here either. Vegas is not giving them a lot of love, which makes sense. They're not really hitting the ball for power. There's not a lot of pop in this lineup right now. They string together base hits. But, Quintana's been serviceable. This isn't really a spot for him, but he's been serviceable. Detroit, Kansas City, Verlander versus Kansas City hasn't announced a starter. So this is there's a couple places that are saying it's going to be Skoglund. Some guy they called up, so we'll see what Skoglund. I don't know. There's not a lot of numbers on him if he is. It's a bad ballpark, but obviously Detroit in an interesting spot here. Just not a great ballpark for hitters, but of course if it's warm in Kansas City, then I have more interest because it can get hot in Kauffman Stadium, and that's nice. Houston, Minnesota, 9 runs projected here. Minnesota favored as they will go Jose Berrios against Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers, the home run machine. He gives up so many home runs. So we're definitely interested in Minnesota in this one. And Berrios, the young guy, just filthy stuff, man. I mean, just Twitter search Jose Berrios, and there are just some there's this clip that Spectre tweeted out of the ball, like some of the movement on his ball, and like literally in real time, which is crazy because, you know, a lot of times in real time, you really can't see breaks that clearly. Like you can tell a ball moves, you know, whether it's, you know, top to bottom or, you know, across the plate, things like that. But I'm not kidding when you can see this ball just snap. It's worth watching. Go find it. There's a clip. I retweeted it. Spectre had it on there. The Jose Berrios clips are worth watching because this kid has some nasty stuff. And it's represented in his numbers, man. He's really good. Problem is Minnesota offense, but it takes a lot for Vegas to make the Minnesota offense dogs against a second-year pitcher, and that's what they're saying here. There's enough to learn about Fiers and enough that we know about Berrios that they like the Twins in this one. Cincinnati, Toronto. Toronto, heavy favorites here, and they haven't even announced their starter. But it's because Asher Wojciechowski is going to pitch for Cincinnati, and this bullpen righty is a fly ball machine. Guy is very, very average to below average in most of his numbers, but this guy, not great, and Toronto seems to be, you know, putting it together here. So definitely not a great spot for Wojciechowski here. Seattle, Colorado, Coors. This one is really interesting. 11 runs projected here. And Ariel Miranda is going to get shelled here by the Colorado righties. You know, Seattle against the lefty, not great. They have a ton of righties in that, or excuse me, a ton of lefties in that lineup. So obvious favorites here, Colorado in this spot. And you got to like them against a fly ball pitcher like Miranda. And then Atlanta at LA, Bartolo Colon right now is pitching. But we have no line in this one because the Angels have not announced a starter and they have not announced whether or not Mike Trout will be in the lineup. He is questionable. He jammed his thumb in that game last night, sliding. Big deal. I mean, you know, I don't think it's broken or anything. We haven't seen any, you know, we haven't seen any definitive news about a break or a sprain or anything like that, but it certainly is not good. So we may see a 10-day DL for Mike Trout, which could, this already really, really bad offense could get really bad, you know, with no Trout out there. So certainly something to keep our eye on. But like I said, 14 full games, you know, a couple really, really nice run totals. The Cincinnati-Toronto game, Houston-Minnesota, Coors, obviously. Tampa Bay-Texas, also a big one. So some really good spots to target for bats. And some interesting arms, too. Some really interesting arms. I got to be honest with you. There's some really great stuff here that we got to look at. So let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. All right, starting with the arms, we got to talk about Chris Sale, obviously. He is going back to Chicago here against the White Sox, revenge narrative. You know, it's interesting. I actually think it will actually be the opposite of revenge. It's more like the Chicago fans will be like, hey, man, you're really good. I wish you were still here because this season is kind of already getting really long. Sale, I mean, he's a maniac. The numbers are just insane. You know, we can look at his last start, and you may look at his last start and be like, oh, he didn't give me any fantasy value. Yeah, that's fine. 36% K rate, 16% swinging strike rate. What else do you want? I mean, the guy is leading the league in both of those numbers. His BABIP is below 300. It's all there, okay? Yes, the last game was a little bit tilting. We were hoping for 10 Ks again. We were hoping he was going to limit the runs. He only gets 6 strikeouts. He gives up 3 earned runs. I get it. It's not, you know, you get the quality start. It was frustrating, but, you know, I think you go back to him here, but the reality is it's also a calculated risk. I mean, it was kind of, I guess it wasn't risky against Texas. Like, everything lined up. This actually has some risk into it, okay? The Chicago White Sox are the best team in baseball against left-handed pitching. 342 BABIP, 172 ISO, and a 132 WRC+. I mean, just ask Detroit if what they do against lefties. Just ask. They shell, man. They shell lefties. That's all they can do. That's all this team can do is hit the hell out of lefties. And, you know, they're not only do they hit the hell out of the ball, they only have a strikeout rate of 17%, you know. And there's two ways that you can think about this, right? There's either Sale is going to know the inside track of what these batters can and can't do. He's going to watch them bat. He's going to know their stuff. He's going to know who they are and what they like and what they can't lay off of, da-da-da-da-da. That's great. Or it's the reverse. It's the reverse. The batters know what to stay away from with Sale. They know what his strikeout pitch is. They know what it looks like. They've seen the shape of it. They know who he's going to attack them. You know, that familiarity is really going to be interesting, especially against a team that's this damn good against lefties. So, you know, part of me believes, part of me really wants to stack against him just for fun, just, you know, throw one lineup out there and throw a White Sox stack at, you know, at 1%. Although I think I won't be the only one, so probably be like 2%. You know, it's just Chris Sale, if you get a hold of one of those balls, it's going, and it's a hitter's environment. So we'll wait for the weather, we'll see what to do with it, but it's Chris Sale at the same time. I mean, he could fan 9 or 10, not give up a single run, and, you know, be done and, you know, get the standing O from the Chicago fans. If he, you know, I hope the Chicago fans show him some love because, man, that guy's just unbelievable. And I hope he doesn't get in a situation where they, you know, boo him or something stupid like that because, you know, the guy is just, he's really a special sight to behold. So, if you're pivoting off of him, there's literally like three high quality options. You know, and I'm not even going to be able to talk about Kenta Maeda. Like, once again, you could go to Kenta Maeda. I think you get a park downgrade in Busch Stadium, and I don't know what you're going to get out of him in this spot. It is, you know, but like, and Vegas liked him to open, but the line is moving, and it's because people watch that game and they know that he got hit. It's interesting, but I think you go down to Severino, Ray, and Samardzija, and I'll talk about all three of them. Okay. You know, Louis got a better situation against the Orioles, slightly better, you know, not perfect either, but 22% K rate the O's have, only a 95% WRC+. Okay, so slightly below average in some of their offensive marks. We know they're slumping. We know, you know, Machado, Trumbo, Chris Davis, all those guys are a little rusty. Interestingly enough, you add to that Adam Jones is out of the lineup right now, so, you know, okay, it's a little bit of a watered-down lineup. They're a little bit cold. They haven't really been getting, you know, they just got swept by the Astros. Right, Fern? you know, Severino has been excellent, though. You know, 27% K rate, 11% swinging strike rate, 6% walk rate, xFIP of 2.9, Sierra 3.1. You know, his first start of the year was against the Orioles, and he gave up 4 runs and 6 Ks in that game. Okay, we gave up 4 runs, got 6 Ks. That's not terrible, you know, but he certainly has improved since then. He hasn't given a home run up in 3 games, which is very interesting because the game right before that changed, he gave up multiple homers and his fly ball rate was elevated. So, you know, that's interesting to me. Maybe he's learning something about his pitches, his pitch repertoire, etc. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just Gary Sanchez coming back, helping him figure out what he wants to throw, that kind of thing, you know. I'm not sure. So, you know, there may, I don't know what it can be. I looked into it. All I know is the ground ball rate is getting more consistent. It was bouncing between like 20, 30, 60 in the beginning of the year. And now we're seeing anywhere in the last 4 games between 50 to 60% ground ball rate. That's excellent. You know, that's really good. He's still giving up, you know, some hits here and there, and he gives up some runs. Sure. But I don't see any reason that in this spot against an Orioles team, we don't get at least 6 Ks in a quality start. Now, will he give up an earned run, maybe a solo shot? Yeah, he probably will. But I think that, you know, on this slate, if you can get yourself a floor of 6Ks and a quality start, that's a pretty good starting place, because every single pitcher that you're going to talk about today or you're going to look at has a caveat. You know, the only other hesitation that I would add about this matchup is that the Orioles are much better at home than they are on the road. That's it. You know, we'll wait for the weather. Maybe we get a good forecast for pitchers, you know, wind blowing in or cold night. I'm not really sure what we're going to see, but, you know, we'll take a look at Severino. I think he's always in play. You know, he's proven that he can go out there and get you 50 points, and there's only so many pitchers that can do that. The other guy who can get you 50, that's Robbie Ray. He's going to Pittsburgh. Now, here's a stud, but he has an exception, obviously. We just saw a start against Milwaukee, absolutely filthy. He's got a 29% K rate, a 12% swinging strike rate, 11% walk rate. That continues to bother me. He's getting hit. He does get hit hard when he gets hit. No joke. Okay. But people aren't really hitting him that much. Okay. That is in his recent game logs. That is until you go back to the Pittsburgh game at home in Chase Field. That was the last game where he got shelled. He gave up 6 hits, 2 of which were dingers, 4 total earned runs, 3 walks, 4 innings. It's not great. I mean, here's the thing that I love, though, okay? Chase is plus 108 in park factor. It's literally one of the best parks in baseball for hitters. PNC minus 86. Massive, massive upgrade for Robbie Ray to be in PNC Park tomorrow night. You know, the Pirates, the only thing that I continue to like... This was my problem with DeGrom, too, on Friday night, right? The Pirates don't strike out. Well, DeGrom got it done. Now, is Robbie Ray Jacob DeGrom? Not quite. Not quite. But he has shown the same K upside that, you know, Jacob DeGrom has. Pirates walk at an 11% rate, and they have a K rate of 21%. Okay, those are both above average. That kind of makes me the 25th in the league in hard contact, which is nothing special at all. We know this offense isn't unbelievable, but we know that people can get a hold of the ball. And when he got a hold, you know, it was McCutchen and Osuna that I think they got a hold of the ball against him in Chase Field. But, you know, Andrew McCutchen just got benched. I mean, last week he got benched because he's been struggling, you know, dingered over the weekend, but... You know, last week he was benched because he's struggling. So I don't know. I think I'd take my chances with Robbie Ray. I wonder what the ownership's going to look like, because I think people will look at Robbie Ray and be like, Robbie Ray against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's offense sucks. Robbie Ray throws strikeouts. I'm not sure. I mean, it was depressed against Milwaukee. It was like one of the lower numbers on the slate. So that's interesting to me. And then you go to Samardzija, and Samardzija's at home against the Nats. Now, he's the third guy on the slate with a K rate above 28%. I mean, this is kind of crazy. This is great. I mean, you wish they would spread these guys out a little bit, make your life a little bit easier, but they're all on one slate. You know, there is a caveat, though. He's got the Nats. I mean, the Nats are great offense, okay? The good news is he is at home at AT&T Park. Massive, massive park upgrade here for him. One of the best pitchers parks on the slate. He's got a 28% K rate, 11% walk rate, a lot like Robbie Ray, xFIP of 2.8, Sierra 2.9. That's excellent. The thing that he does much better than Robbie Ray is the hard contact and the fly balls. His batted ball profile is much better. And I got to chalk that up to the fact that his home park is much better. You know, Chase Field, you get a hold of a ball, that ball's moving. You know, that alone is going to change your fly ball rate. So, you know, I think that's what you got to kind of look at. You got to think about, what advantage Samardzija has with AT&T Park, and he's using that to his advantage tomorrow night. You know, the problem has been he gives up a dinger pretty much every game. Okay. He had an outing against a dangerous team in the Cubs. He gave up 3 solo dingers. That's it. I mean, that's a lot, but that was it. Those are the only runs. 3 solos. Now, he also got 8 strikeouts. So, you know, and went 7 innings. I mean, that's kind of was a nice outing for him. You're like, oh God, all these home runs, but limited the damage, 3 earned runs. You know, I'd much rather that than constant pressure on the base paths. The dingers are the issue, but the numbers for home runs go down at AT&T. The whole batted ball profile improves, you know, hard contact, everything gets better. Ground ball rate goes up, et cetera, at AT&T. But his K rate also goes down at AT&T. It goes down to 25%. So, you know, Washington, interesting matchup. You know, you get a little bit scared off by name value, but they're pretty average in hard contact against right-handed pitching. They're good in all the other metrics, though. They're top 10. Okay, this is a team, if we're looking for a comp, the comp that I have is the Dodgers. They're very similar in a lot of their numbers. Also a top 10 against offense, or excuse me, top 10 offense against right-handed pitching. And Samardzija worked the Dodgers. He worked them 8 innings, 11 Ks, and 1 earned run. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go out and get you 8 innings and 11 Ks, you know. I don't think it's the same team. It's not a perfect comp, but it's about the best that I can do for given what we know. I mean, you have two power-hitting lefties. Well, so do the Dodgers. They have probably three power-hitting lefties, really. You know, the Ks are there for Samardzija. That's what's interesting to me. He really hasn't had it. If you look at his game logs, he really hasn't had a game where he's gone below 7 or 8 Ks. And recently, he's been pretty much 8 or 7 back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So, you know, he may get hit. He may give up how many earned runs. He's going to get the quality start. He's going to get the Ks. He's going to work deep into this game. Does he give up the earned runs? That's what you worry about. Okay, so if he gives up the earned runs, it's going to hurt the possibility for the quality start. It's going to obviously take the K upside out of there. And eventually, you're kind of, you know, based on those earned runs, you're almost looking at the same thing you get from Severino. 6 Ks, quality start. You know, he gives up 2 earned runs. He gets 8 Ks. It's the same math there. So I like Samardzija in this spot. I think he goes under-owned. I mean, just name value alone, I think he goes under-owned. I think people think Severino is sexy. They're going to like Robbie Ray because of the weak matchup. You know, and obviously Sale. Why not? Sale, the thing that the reason I don't want to fade Sale is because, you know, in his post game the other day, he was like, I pitched badly. I didn't pitch great. I didn't hit my spots in the way I wanted to hit my spots. And the guys bailed me out with the bats. I was really thankful for that. And it's probably one of my worst starts in recent memory. It's like, good gracious, dude. You know, take it easy on yourself, okay? You're pretty fucking good. But he seems to have known where his mistakes were. He wants, you know, in that respect, kind of interests me. It interests me. But then again, you know, gosh, pretty much the worst matchup you can have if you're a lefty. God, I can't wait to start the White Sox against Drew Pomeranz. All right, if you want to get cute, I got two names for you. The first one is old Dinelson Lamet. Dinelson Lamet. I don't know how to say this kid's name. I'm sorry, Dinelson. We're going to call you Din. No, we're not. We're just going to call you Lamet. Okay? He's got the Cubs. Lamet, he had a beast of a start against the Mets. I mean, you don't start righties against the Mets. If there's one thing Mets can do, it's hit righties. But he went for 8 Ks against the Mets in Citi Field. Yeah, he gave up some runs. He sure did. But he didn't, you know, that's a pretty good start for a guy who just came up from AAA. He's going to be at home. Great ballpark. Just, you know, very similar to Citi Field, right? Safe in that respect. Against the Cubs. I understand the fear against the Cubs, but let's talk about this. They're actually not that great against right-handers, okay? A la Samardzija, 8 Ks. We just saw that. Very average performance. 3 runs, 8 Ks. It's fine. In fact, they're pretty below average in a lot of the measures and only at a 21% K rate. Okay. Yes, they could definitely get a hold of Lamet and rock him and make him, you know, welcome to the big leagues. Okay. But, you know, they haven't really done the whole, like, you know, Cubs score 12 thing in a while. And I don't think Petco is necessarily the place to do it. So I like the leverage here. I like the lower ownership. I like the cost savings. Lamet is very interesting to me. I think the other guy that will be a little bit more obvious is Jose Berrios. The news is out on Berrios, man. This guy is filthy, okay? He's an elite pitcher, but a rough matchup, okay? A lot to hesitate, but a lot to like. This loser, though, only 27% K rate compared to all these other guys. I mean, come on, Berrios. Get your shit together. That's crazy. We got like 6 pitchers on this slate with a 25% or higher K rate. There's some days where you struggle. You're like, 21% strikeout rate looks really good right now. there's some days where I'm sorting models via batted ball, via ground ball rate. Cause I'm like, oh, nobody can strike anybody out. Who's going to keep the ball on the ground? No, but Berrios is filthy, man. This guy's got a 10% swinging strike rate, 5% walk rate. I'm telling you, go watch the video. It's one of the better baseball videos. It's one of those that you'll just go, oh, man, this guy is... It's the kind of thing, don't watch the highlights or else you're going to want to roster the guy type situation in the NBA. But he's got some good stuff. He really does. This kid is good. The problem is he's got Houston, okay? You know, twin starter in, he's at home. I think they're at home or, yeah, they're at home. Okay, that's fine. Target field's pretty neutral, to be honest with you, depending on weather. Three starts this year, one quality, each one was a quality start. The Baltimore kind of figured him out last time, and he gave up three solo dingers, strangely enough, like a lot of these guys. But those are all the first home runs that he gave up all year. Okay, he hadn't given up a home run before that. You know, the upside here is price. The upside here is leverage on the field against Houston. But Houston, this is probably beyond Chicago, the worst pitcher matchup that there is. Okay, the worst pitcher matchup that there is, because not only do they not strike out, you know, they take walks, they have power, you know, and you're starting, it's like you would start Chris Sale against the White Sox, even though you have, you know, the best arm in baseball against the best offense in baseball against left-handed pitching. You take that risk, right? You know, it's like Tom Brady versus the best defense in the NFL. You take that risk. You know, you take Tom Brady against the Ravens because he can still get it done. I don't know, what is this, 2007, the Ravens? Anyway, sorry. They're always pretty good. That was an outdated reference for sure. I'm telling you, my mind is so far away from football right now. The downside, of course, is there for Berrios. We know, you know, he's a young guy. They're not going to let him get rocked. He could give up 3, 4, 5 runs in 5 innings, a couple dingers, and all of a sudden, you know, they're gonna say, good job, kid. Get out of here. You know, the problem is maybe they'll ask him to go a little bit deeper because that bullpen is banged up. They just went, like, what, 13 innings with the Rays? So who knows? I mean, there's a reason they put Kenneth. They just demoted Kenneth Vargas because they needed bullpen arms. So interesting spot for sure for all these guys. Honestly, guys, I know it's kind of like a question of, like, you know, what do you do? But in summary, it's Chris Sale because he's the best pitcher on the slate, period. Just pure talent wise. Severino, decent matchup, great stuff recently. Robbie Ray, decent matchup, great stuff recently. Samardzija, decent matchup, great stuff recently, great park. I mean, the park advantage belongs really to Ray and Samardzija, and Lamet. Those are the guys who really have the park advantage. In fact, you know, Sale, the thing is Sale is maybe he knows how to pitch U.S. Cellular, you know? Maybe he knows how to pitch U.S. Cellular. He knows what not to give up out there. You know, that's a hitter's park, so we'll see. I mean, I think maybe your tiebreaker is really lineups and weather. And that's kind of, you know, what you look at. If you get nice pitcher's weather, a little wind blowing in, below 60 degrees, you kind of look at that guy and go, okay, you know, I'll take it. And you say, look at the weather in the other spots. You know, Minute Maid, if long as that roof's closed, it should be pretty decent. Take a look at the weather in other spots and figure out what you want to do. But that said, you know, it also kind of, I think it can depend on your sticks. Like, what do you want to do with sticks here? And I think, you know, I don't normally do this, but I have to start by recommending Coors. You know, normally I'll do a Coors breakdown and then I'll do another. I have to talk about Coors, guys. It's just too good of a spot. And I have to recommend it. I really do. Vegas loves it. I love it. This is one of those, like, this is where you got to play some Coors here, okay? And we got to play the Rockies against Miranda. You know, it's a very obvious spot normally, which is why I avoid it for the breakdown. But I'm going to talk about it here because it's really, really good. And it's going to be expensive, but it's pretty worth it. Ariel, the Little Mermaid, he's pitching there. He's got one of the highest fly ball rates in Major League Baseball. And he's going to one of the worst parks in the country for home runs and fly balls. Not good. He had a 51% fly ball rate in the last 15 days. On average this year, it's 46%. His hard contact, 30%. Okay, his K rate, swinging strike rate, yes, they're slightly above average, but they're pretty much average. There's really nothing that's scary about this guy. What's scary is how many fucking fly balls this kid lets go. We're stacking the righties here, and you know what? That's nice, because sometimes the righties are a little less obvious than Charlie Blackman and Cargo. So it's Reynolds, it's Story, it's LeMahieu even, maybe for salary relief if he's in the top six of the lineup. Arenado, obviously. And Desmond, don't sleep on Desmond. Ian Desmond is always a great righty mash. He mashes lefties. So any of those guys, I think, are in play. You know, your high-cost options are going to be Arenado and Desmond. And probably Trevor Story. Trevor Story is really great at home, and he just dingered today. So hopefully his price doesn't go up too much. And Mark Reynolds, we'll see. You know, it depends on the lineup. So he's in and out. So he's a platoon guy. So hopefully he's in there. And maybe he's a little bit on the cheaper side. But I think this is going to be a bad spot for them. And the Seattle bullpen is not good either. So you got to have some Rockies. You know, you can have Rockies 1-7, really, if you want. Like Rockies 1-7 throughout your lineup. You know, and always look at, not Tony Walters, the other catcher. What's his name? I forget the other catcher's name, because they platoon their catchers in Colorado. So you can definitely get a nice cheap catcher there. Oh, Dustin Garneau. Garneau, as long, he was in an on and off the DL for a little while. But if Garneau is out there, get him in there too. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, I really, you know, I hate to say you got to stack cores. It seems obvious. But against Miranda in this spot, we really got to do it. Now, a little bit more, a little bit less obvious, a little bit more in-depth breakdown here. We're going to Minnesota against Mike Fiers. Now, I know this is pretty obvious, too. I talk a lot about Mike Fiers in this show. But he's the home run man. He divs up too many home runs. He allows massive home run numbers all year long. And every time we get him out there, we're stacking against him. 43% fly ball rate, 3 home runs per 9, 31% home run to fly ball rate. By far the worst in Major League Baseball. The rest of his numbers are good. If this guy could figure out how to get the ball down in the goddamn zone, I'm sure the Detroit pitching coaches would be absolutely thrilled with him. So we got to go with the Twins, righties, lefties. You know, no problem with Sano, obviously, and Dozier. Those are the two leaders in home runs. And then Grossman and Kepler. Now, normally I'd love Kenny Vargas in this spot, but Vargas got optioned to AAA for some bullpen relief. So I think they needed some arms in there. So we'll keep an eye on the lineup. I'd be interested to see what it looks like. But Sano and Dozier are the absolute must-haves. But in Kepler, too. Kepler's been absolute beast lately, and he mashes righties. So, you know, those are the three. And I think Robbie Grossman will probably be DHing. So I have no problem with him. Now, if you need some flexibility, Eddie Rosario might be in there. A little bit up in the lineup. He's a lefty. He kind of platoons. And Jason Castro is actually a great catching option as well to be a part of this. So not too expensive, sometimes overlooked. And he may get bumped up in the lineup for a little boost since they don't have Kenny Vargas in the DH. They may just kind of put a little bit more power up there. He might get as high as the 6th spot, which is really nice. So, you know, look at the lineup. But like I said, Sano is the must-have. You add Dozier. Dozier is the leadoff man there. Grossman and Kepler as well. Rosario and Castro are interesting here if they are in the upper portions of this lineup. That's who I'm looking at in Minnesota. Now, the other team we got to look at is the Jays, and the Jays' price are going up. So, you know, let's not pretend like this is the Blue Jays of 2-3 weeks ago where it was kind of sleepy and everybody was off of them. Nah, man, they're kind of back, and they're back. They got Asher Wojciechowski in the Rogers Center. This Woj character, he's a reliever, okay? Is a reliever. He's given up a ton of fly balls. A lot of hard contact to right-handed bats. Not a ton of home runs, strangely enough, but his WOBA is pretty bad. His XFIP is also above 5. You know, elevated WOBA against left-handers as well. You know, we're definitely comfortable starting all of our lefties in Toronto. You know, and that's pretty straightforward. That starts with, you know, Morales and Smoke. They're smashing right now. I mean, these guys are just smashing the baseball. Justin Smoak, by the way, the fact that on this team, he gets listed as the DH is really pretty freaking impressive. I mean, it's a testament to the way this guy strokes the ball. He's the DH in a team with Kendrys Morales, Joey Bautista. You know, it's just good for him. He's smashing. So Kendrys Morales, Justin Smoak, you know, they cannibalize each other's ownership. So if you're going to pick one, probably Smoak just because he's been more consistent. But Kendrys Morales is cheaper. And, you know, the other day he was owned at like 5%. It was crazy. How are you going to Kendrys Morales at 5%? Just nuts. So totally into those guys to start with. Donaldson too, man. Josh Donaldson, he's negligible in his right to left-handed splits. They're not strong enough for me to say, you know, he's better against lefties, obviously, but they're not strong enough for me to say that I'm not going to play Donaldson against a righty. And I think you have some advantage here. Maybe people will look at the platoon splits and say Donaldson too expensive, I'm not paying for him, you know. And the same goes for Joey Bats. So I'm into those four guys. That's not cheap, you know. That's actually not a very cheap stack. So, you know, you pick three because you can't play Morales and Smoak. You know, Morales, maybe it's Smoak, Donaldson, Joey Bats, and then you add somebody else in there. You know, Devon Travis has been hitting the ball pretty well. You look at the rest of the top of the lineup, see who's leading off, that kind of thing. You know, try to figure out who else might be in a good spot, and is relatively inexpensive and in the top of the lineup, I guess. You know, you're looking for that correlation play there. So that's where I'm at with Toronto here for sure. Interested in them. If you're pivoting off of them, guys, there's a couple other, I mean, there's a ton of spots here because we're getting to this point in the season where, you know, there's bullpen games and, you know, there's guys getting called up and sent down, that kind of thing. So we have to really, really, really look at this. Brewers are in a good spot against Tyler Pill. Now, the opposite of this game is Zach Davies. You know, Zach Davies is not great, but let's talk about Tyler Pill here for a second. Okay. This kid has an xFIP above 5 in AAA. Jeez. Man, give me a break. And you're getting called up to pitch against the Brewers. He is a righty. He throws righty. Okay, so he's a righty. I have no problem stacking against this guy. 1 through 5. He's got a 12% K rate. His big league splits don't reveal very much, but his AAA numbers are like, if his AAA numbers are bad, that bad, then, like, I have no problem going with the, you know, a classic Thame Shaw here and figure out, you know, who else is in the 1 and the 2 spot up there, whether it's John VR probably leading off, Hernan Perez. Those guys are pretty cheap, too, those fill-in pieces for Milwaukee. Now, the opposite side against Zach Davies is great, too, because Davies just does not have a great K rate. Okay, and he's got a pretty solid walk rate, 18% K rate, 9% walk rate, more or less, against lefties. And these lefties, they can hit him. He's got an xFIP of 4.8 right now. And you know what? If he gives up anything, he gives up those fly balls to left-handed bats. So, I mean, we did it against Chad Kuhl. Now, he's not as bad in his splits as old Chad Kuhl, but Zach Davies, Vegas is telling us stack the lefties in the mats. So, you know, it's due to Conforto, Bruce. Neil Walker is a switch hitter. He gets overlooked. I had him on Friday night. Unfortunately, I only had him in one of my lineups and one of my Mets stacks. He was my pivot in one of my Mets stacks. But, you know what? These guys, they can hit. So no problem with these Mets lefties because they've been pretty serviceable lately. So especially against a guy like Davies, I think this game has a lot of interest. I'll talk about two other games that have a lot of interest, but I got to talk about the Angels against Bartolo here. By the way, the Angels haven't announced who they're starting, So you could definitely look at the Braves maybe for a lot of leverage. An away team on the West Coast gets huge ownership discount there. Bartolo, though, really bad. We know the story. No good these days. He's given up so many hits every single game. Three games this year with 10 or more hits. He's averaged 8 hits per game. So we're stacking. The 1 and 2 bats are probably the best starting place because they're going to get the most PAs against Bartolo because he'll get pulled in the fifth. So it's Maben and Simmons, which you're never excited about. Cameron Maben and Andelton Simmons. I mean, they're probably good, serviceable baseball players all around. But like from a fantasy perspective, it's like, oh yeah, I'm starting my lineups around Cameron Maben and Andelton Simmons. Yeesh. Valbuena, Cole Calhoun, those are the other guys I'm interested in. Obviously, Pujols is there. I mean, but like, give me, you know, Pujols versus Kendrys Morales. I'm going Kenny Morales in this spot, guys. I'm going Kenny Morales. But Bartolo, no good right now. So, you know, definitely interested in possibly some Angels stacks. The issue that you have is the obvious one. If Mike Trout is out of this lineup, this team is not very good. Really not. I mean, like, he is the scariest piece in part. Like, Bartolo might be able to get around these guys. Like, that's crazy. In that ballpark, though, he might be able to get around with these guys and give away, you know, he might give up, you know, 6 hits, 1 home run, and go 6 innings. He's not going to get any Ks or anything, but, like, who's going to hit him? Who's going to hit him? They can't hit. Now, two games that I think have both side interest. Obviously, I talked about the Mets and the Milwaukee game. The Rays and the Rangers game is very interesting. The lefties in this spot are in a great spot. Andrisi, a righty, versus Nick Martinez, a righty. We just stacked the righties. We just stacked the Red Sox against Martinez. He's not that great, okay? I would talk about them in this spot, the Rays, but it's just too on-brand. I got to give you guys some other information. If I said every day I came out here talking about the Rays, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to listen to another podcast because this is basically just talk about the Rays. But we got to talk about the Rays and the Rangers lefties. So on the Rangers, it starts with Chu, Mazzara, Odor. Dude, Joey Gallo is one of the league leaders in home runs. So if he's going to hit one, he might hit one here. He's always in play for a one-off spot. He's very inconsistent. It's either that or a strikeout. So, Tampa Bay, you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Corey Dickerson, Kevin Kiermaier, you know, Lomo. And actually, interestingly enough, I like Steven Souza as well. He's been in the five hole, and he's been hot. He's been hitting everything. So, Steven Souza, even though he's a righty, he's in an interesting spot as well. Now, Miami lefties are in a great spot here, too, against Vinny Velasquez. Now, Vinny Velasquez had a great start against Colorado. Sure. But the Miami lefties are sneaky, and I think that there's leverage in this lineup, okay? They just blew up Shoemaker. I am a Shoemaker truther. Shoemaker truther meeting starts at noon. Too much hard contact, not that good. Barrel data is brutal. Anyway, Justin Bour, Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna, reserve splits guy. Obviously, you know, Giancarlo Stanton is a beast. If you can fit him in there, he's very expensive. And Real Muto, a great catching option because he's always in the top of that lineup, and those clowns all hit. So he gets on base, knocks some RBIs, do that whole thing. That's great for your catcher. And JT Riddle, he's been up there and pretty cheap. So get him in there. Why not? You know, that's an interesting spot for sure. And the Philly side is interesting too. Even though the Phillies are really bad right now, Miami is starting Nicolino, and Nicolino walks way too many people. So, you know, even against them, it could be a good spot. All right, guys, that is it for the breakdown. Tons of different spots to consider tonight. Obviously, you got a lot to think about. You got a lot to look at. I would love to head over to FanDuel. I'm recording before the slate has been announced. I'm recording late Monday afternoon. So I unfortunately do not have access to the FanDuel lineups yet, but here's what I'm going to offer you guys. Get out there on Twitter and follow our new show handle, Lineup Logic DFS, all one word, Lineup Logic DFS. Follow our new show handle. Tomorrow, using the show information, I will build what I normally build as a stack, or excuse me, as a core. The teams that I've talked about. Okay, so that is what we're gonna do. Lineup Logic DFS. You'll see the show lineup over there. Lineup Logic DFS. If you're following the new show handle, There you go. That's where it's going to be. So good luck in your contest, and I will see you guys tomorrow.